Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday. We are live in Los Angeles, and this show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Alex Rodriguez. Later this hour, baseball playoffs this afternoon. Dodgers lost last night, their season on the brink. 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, which is getting tougher and tougher. What do I do with those Dallas Cowboys? Top three team, perhaps, and Joy Taylor is joining me. A lot happening last night. Really ugly and really amazing all in the same night in the NFL.
Yes, that was an unbelievable performance by Lamar and amazing to watch.
It was, and I'll get to that in a second. John Gruden, as you know by now, has resigned as the Raiders' head football coach. He is, of course, the face of the franchise for slurs, not just disagreeing with people, 7 years email chain, slurs targeting multiple groups. And it made me, I thought about this, I got about a 10-minute drive to work this morning. And I thought about how to frame this story because the NFL and the Raiders did the right thing. So years ago, my first job out of college was in Las Vegas. I've talked about this. And it was kind of fascinating. I was a kid from small town America. And I would go to these sports books. My state didn't have them. And like the Las Vegas Hilton sports book. And it was just so much fun. You'd go there and you watch football games and eat hot dogs all day. And they had a million screens. And I had one little black and white TV at home, right? And they had a million screens. And it was 99.9% men. And yet last year, and this number is remarkable, the NFL study came out. There were 187 million NFL fans in America. That's like 55% of the country. But here's what's more amazing. 47% were women. They now officiate. They coach. They're in the front office. That sports book, women now not only bet football, I know because I just hired a young woman named Liv Moods. She has her own business. And she tells me what games to pick. The world's changed. The NFL has been on a mission since that sports book I was in 30 years ago to broaden and widen the net. Gay Americans, women, African Americans, come on in. It's a great game. I say that all the time. I wish more people like football. 55%, I want everybody to love it because I love talking it and watching it. I'm fascinated. I talk about it all the day, all day. And John Gruden, over the course of 7 years, and this is just what we see, targeted anything that didn't look just like him or football in 1974, and you can't have that. And if that bothers you, that 47% of NFL fans are women, then the sport's going to have to move on without you. The NFL now has a commercial campaign. Football's for everyone. And again, I'm not saying everybody's perfect. This was not a clumsy joke at a Christmas party or an inappropriate tweet. We've all had a bad tweet, right? Like, that's not what it was. John Gruden was a volcano, and out of it came hate lava. Not disagreeing with groups, slurs, mean, angry at all groups that don't think and look like him. There's just no place for it. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's seeking perfection. We've all made mistakes. Resumes do matter. That's why I defended Drew Brees when he did something about 2 years ago and it bothered teammates. I said, that's not fair. Drew's been a good person, lots of charity. He's helped lots of players. But this was too much. I got a text last night, and I'll keep this as vague as I can, but it's somebody I infrequently talk to. They're a general counsel, an attorney, and they had to work years ago with John. They resigned. It was too toxic. Folks, when you're the face of a franchise. I hear this. I went on to Twitter last night. Well, cancel culture. No. John Gruden canceled himself. This was not about the cancel culture. We can have disagreements. I don't have to think like you, and you don't have to think like me. But the NFL's targeting for 30 years, they don't want sports books to be all guys. They want women, gay Americans, black Americans, old, young. They want everybody. My sister does not like football. In fact, nobody in my family liked football. I don't know why I love it. But Russell Wilson came into the league a few years ago, right? My sister lives in rural Washington State, and she fell in love with Russell Wilson. Not just the game, the person, what he stands for. And now she'll text me every Sunday with green and blue hearts, and she's crazy. And it's like, my sister loves football now. That's the NFL's goal. And that 7 years of ugly emails went against everything the NFL is trying to do. All right, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. And in our society today, you do get credit. I will say this. You do get credit for seeing something first. I saw this cool band. I saw Nirvana like 5 years before that. It is kind of cool. You get credit for that. Or, dude, I found a restaurant. You've got to take your wife to this. 10 years later, you'll be like, remember when those guys introduced us to this restaurant? You do get credit for seeing things first. It's kind of fun to find the new restaurant or hear the new band. But you get far more points, in my opinion, you get far more points deducted if you think you see or find something first. You're wrong and are stubborn and won't admit it. I admit, I had questions about Lamar Jackson. He was kind of skinny. He ran a little too much. He got hit really hard. He had a weird throwing motion. And the first year in the league, wasn't terribly accurate. But then there's this thing called games on television, and you watch. If you still don't get Lamar Jackson, you're just not paying attention now. You're trying to be right and not get it right. Folks, through the first five games, his stats are better today than they were in his MVP year. Congratulations for those who spotted it earlier. I didn't. I had my doubts. I didn't. But by the way, I didn't think Josh Allen. I thought he had a huge bust potential. He was wild. He couldn't throw completions from 8 yards out. I was wrong on Josh Allen. I said he had huge bust potential. Lamar Jackson, I didn't really get it. And we have this society of men now that they cannot move off wrong. They somehow view it as a weakness. It's not a weakness. Being dumb's a weakness. Being wrong's not. Lamar Jackson's really good. He not only can get you to a Super Bowl, hell, maybe he should be a favorite. I'm watching him last night. He also buried another falsehood, which, by the way, I for a long first 2 years, I'm like, he's not as good playing from behind. Well, that's done. Three of his last seven wins are coming from behind. So the best word I would use to describe Lamar Jackson is electric. And just think of your quarterback wherever they are. Describe your quarterback in one word. I got to tell you, electric is a really good word. Steady, efficient. And you're not winning Super Bowls with that. It's different. I say that my wife and I, when we used to live in Connecticut, we would love lightning storms. We would go out, pour a glass of wine, and you get a lot of them in the summer because you get the hot air and the cool air of the mountains, and you get these lightning storms. We sit out there for hours, and it's unpredictable, and it moves so fast, and you don't know how it's going to end. But we would just be in amazement. Sometimes watching Lamar Jackson, I feel like I'm watching a lightning storm. I'm not really sure how it's going to end. It's just improvising and zigzagging and going everywhere. But it is absolutely electric. I cannot take my eyes off him. And John Harbaugh afterwards, by the way, he completed 83% of his throws last night. It was like an NFL record. John Harbaugh, who saw it earlier than I did, had an opinion.
It's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen, and it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't like we came out just up and down the field. We had to overcome and fight through some things. He was under pressure. He created plays with his feet. First of all, we've got Lamar Jackson, all right? And then next of all, we got a bunch of guys just like Lamar Jackson with heart and spirit and soul and persistence and all the other things.
One of the only things, and joy is my witness, I did identify very early with Lamar Jackson. This one I identified. He cares so much. He wants it so badly. Folks, I can't take indifference. Does Ben Simmons want to be great or not? In my career in broadcasting, the people over 30 years that have always succeeded, joy is one of them, they want it so much. They love what they do. They love coming to work. They love doing it. Lamar was skinny. Then he came back from an off season and he wasn't skinny. And his passing wasn't great. And then he came back. It was better. And he came back now and it's way better. And what's interesting is he's missing an all-pro left tackle. His first round wide receiver is not there. I mean, good God, they had a cluster injury at running back. He's using guys off the street at running back. I don't think we've hit on his potential. And John Harbaugh talked on it. It was kind of an ugly first half. It took him a while to get going. But, man, it was a lightning storm in the second half. You're never sure quite where it's going to end or how it's going to go. I cannot take my eyes off him. Calais Campbell, another good player for the Ravens, called out the Lamar doubters.
Man, that's special. You know, I mean, he's just scratching the surface of how good he can be. You know what I mean? I think he's still, what, 24 years old? You know, I mean, this is crazy what he's capable of doing. And, you know, I mean, I know he's notorious for what he can do with his legs. You know, and I feel like he got a lot of disrespect, you know, on his arm talent. You know, I think people a lot of people eating their words right now.
37 of 43, 442 yards. 10.3 average yards and a quarterback rating of 140. By the way, Carson Wentz didn't play bad. I mean, it give you an example. Carson Wentz wasn't terrible. Carson Wentz was pretty good and was completely overshadowed. And almost every night, the story would be, oh, Carson Wentz led the Colts. They led late. Carson Wentz, hey, he's not a problem. He was completely forgettable. That's what lightning does. Everything else around it's forgettable.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I was thinking about this with Lamar Jackson, who's just setting all sorts of records last night. And you probably never want to. I've never been a director, obviously, in Hollywood, but you don't probably need to over-direct a great actor. It'll land. They'll figure out a place for it to land. And, you know, indecision... We know coaching matters in the NFL, but it's not as important as the player. I mean, Bill Belichick now is like 8-12 or something, 9-12 since Brady left, with Cam a veteran and with a young guy. Andy Reid's a way better coach with Patrick Mahomes. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't win in college football. Gosh, now he's undefeated with Kyler Murray. Like, we know the player, the star quarterback, not all players, but the star quarterback is more important than the star coach. Pete Carroll fired twice before Russell Wilson. Watch the next five games without Russell. He's going to lose a lot of games with Geno Smith. Now, coaches are probably more important than some players in some position groups, but not great quarterbacks. Great quarterbacks are 70% of it. The coach is about 30% of it. Don't overcoach them. Indecision is usually bad for quarterbacks, right? Like, you got to kind of have an idea what's going to happen pre-snap. And then you get Lamar Jackson. He is so quick, not just fast. I mean, Daniel Jones is fast. A lot of guys can run. He's so quick and fast that he can change his mind multiple times during a play. I'm going to run. No, I'm not. I'm pass. No, I'm not. You can't overcommit to him or you'll get burned. Don't get over aggressive as a defender or you'll be humiliated. Is that Lamar is able to be indecisive and kind of make it up and ad lib because it generally ends up landing in the right spot. His quickness allows him to change his mind multiple times on a play, and he can buy time to reevaluate. And I'll also say this, his accuracy is helped because you have to honor his running game to such a high degree that creates great space. It's always remarkable how wide open so many. I mean, Brady's receivers are rarely open. Why? Because Tom never runs. You can drop an extra person into coverage. With Lamar, you got to spy on him. You can't overcommit to him. You can't be too aggressive. You'll get humiliated. I mean, if a safety comes and misses on Lamar, he's off for 50 yards. So, you know, and also, our brains are sort of almost sometimes, I think, constructed. We see something, and we get used to seeing it for years and years and years and years. So our brains are used to just accepting a certain way a quarterback should play. And with Lamar, a lot of it is, it's kind of deconstructing how we look at quarterbacks. It's like Kyler gives you a little bit of this, but not as much as Lamar. It's a little like Steph Curry. For years and years, I was just so confounded. That a lot of star players did not respect Steph Curry. And he wore pharmacist shoes, and he was skinny and kind of frail, and he was shooting shots that you would get yelled at or benched in high school, college, or the pros. And now Steph Curry is probably, as KD is finding out, the most egoless, selfless, greatest point guard after Magic Johnson of all time. I mean, Magic's the only one you can even really compare to him. That's it. I mean, because he scores at such a high rate, Magic could score, but did everything else really well. But like Steph Curry now is the second best person ever at the position. And it should be noted, both Magic and Steph don't look like your traditional point guards. Magic was a 6'8 and a half point guard. That was the size of power forwards. And then Steph Curry doesn't look like your big, broad, strong, tall. He kind of he puts his glasses on, the pharmacy shoes, walks in. It just looks like a dude, right? And so I think sometimes you got to recalibrate what we think great is. And when somebody is so unique, it is hard. You just can't quite figure out how it's working. Remember, players for years and years would take Westbrook over Steph Curry, and you're like, wait, one's a guard and can't shoot, and one's a guard and he's the best shooter of all time. I don't understand it. Like, the data is obvious. Now, everybody gets it now. I mean, Steph could have been the MVP last year. But when you look at Lamar, it's like you can't win a Super Bowl running. Can't win a Super Bowl? Should he be favored to win the Super Bowl? Find me all the teams better than Baltimore.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
All right. I'm going to put Kansas City at 10. Here's what worries me. They're tied for the most turnovers in the league with Jacksonville. They've gotten sloppy. Their defense is allowing over 7 yards a play. That's on pace to be the worst in league history. How do you beat them? Keep Mahomes as a spectator. You can't give up 7 yards a play. Mahomes has 6 picks this year. So the protection I'm worried about, the sloppiness, they're bad situationally, but they can win a lot of fireworks shows. So they're still in the list. I put them at number 10, Kansas City.
Number 9.
I'm going to move Cleveland up despite a loss because I think if Cleveland played the Chiefs today, I think they could beat them, and they did control them for 2.5 quarters at Arrowhead. They're the number one rushing team in the league. I still like that. I thought they should have won the Chargers game. I didn't like the PI call, but they've now blown 2 10-plus-point leads. That's a problem. Also, Mayfield's third career loss when his team scores 40 points. So, again, I think Baker, when he doesn't have to throw, can throw. When he's forced to throw, he's not as efficient, so I put Cleveland at 10.
Number 8.
The team I dropped the most was the Packers. I have watched them be outplayed for long stretches by Cincinnati and Detroit this year. They're 4-1, but the only team that's 4-1 that has 4 wins with a negative point differential. I've seen them get blown out. I see them struggle with the Bengals and the Lions. They're just not quite right on special teams. They got very conservative with play calling this week. That worries me. Their offensive line's okay, not as good as last year. They are wildly dependent on Devontae Adams. They don't have a 2. That worries me. So I know they're a good team, but man, they need Devontae Adams to be special every Sunday. And so I only put them at 8.
number 7.
I think the Chargers do more things well than Green Bay right now, so I edge him ahead. Listen, here's the thing with Herbert. He's getting better. Like, he could be better this Sunday than last Sunday. He's got three straight games with three touchdown passes in 100-plus passer rating. I still think you can run on this team. That's why I can't have him in the top five. That concerns me, and I think they have to address that in the draft, get beefier through the middle of the defense. But there's not a lot not to like. They have an emerging star at quarterback. He appears to be getting better. And by the way, Rashawn Slater at left tackle is not just the best rookie offensive lineman. He's in the argument for the best left tackle this morning in the NFL. And then Asante Samuel is an absolute home run. So they took a good roster. Herbert, Asante, Rashawn are stars, not paying anybody anything. It is a bright future.
Number 6.
I don't move the Buccaneers. I keep them at 6. Number 1 passing offense, but the worst passing defense. Now, this weekend, they look fantastic, but you're thinking the same thing I am. They're winning games, but they're just not quite right defensively. So Brady looked fantastic. They've got a ton of weapons. We know they'll be around in the end, especially the top of the NFC that is weaker. But their greatest strength is they're on pace to have three receivers for over 1,000 yards. They can win like Kansas City, but with a better defense. They're not quite right yet.
Number 5.
Ravens. Now, I dropped them from 2 to 5. I think they're becoming a little dependent on Lamar Jackson being amazing. They were outplayed last night for 3 quarters. At least 2.5 quarters, they were outplayed. They were outplayed completely by Detroit. So I love Lamar. And I said this. He's lightning. You never know how it's going to go or look, but it's art. There's something about the unpredictability of it. But boy, they're becoming incredibly reliant on him saving them. It's the largest comeback, 19 points, by the way, in Lamar's career. He's overcome 10-plus point deficits in 3 of his last 7 games. So we can bury that narrative. He's fine coming from behind.
Number 4.
The Rams by an inch. Listen, this is where I give them credit. All 4 of the Rams' wins have come against teams that made the playoffs last year. So they're beating real football teams. Stafford has been a little inconsistent, but here's another number that Vegas loves. They're averaging almost 7 yards a play, 6.7 yards. That's a big deal in Vegas. That moves the number. They are wildly explosive, but they can also do the details well and get short yards. So I put them at 4.
Number 3.
Arizona. I mean, didn't play particularly well and still won. That's a sign of a good team. They play Cleveland this week. Good luck, Cleveland. I think Kyler Murray is the story here. First year, he was dynamic with his legs. Okay, passer. Second year, took away some of the mistakes as a passer. Third year, he's now an elite passer with the legs. They also went out and got leaders like a J.J. Watt. So I like teams that score a lot that have a pass rush. That's what Peyton Manning and Bill Polian built. We knew we were going to lead a lot of games, so we got to get pass rushers because you got to throw to beat us. So they have a combination here. The big play offense, the pass rushers on the other side, Arizona at 3.
Number 2.
I'm going to be honest with you. Dallas is the only team that has not played poorly this year. In their only loss, they outplayed Tampa. They outplayed the Chargers. And by the way, they're 28-0 when they have more rush attempts than pass attempts in the Dak era. Well, what does that tell you? Well, right now they've got Zeke playing great with juice and Tony Pollard, and the O-line's healthy. So this team, we've always said, all quarterbacks are better when they throw 32 times, not 58 like Ben last year. But now they're running the ball 2 backs. That just amplifies their ability to score on the perimeter and improving tight end unit. You tell me, my eyes don't lie. They basically in the last 2 years have hit 4 home runs in the draft from CeeDee Lamb, got Micah Parsons, defensive lineman from UCLA. They've got Trayvon Diggs. Folks, these are 4 new stars on this team. I got them at 2.
Number 1.
Had them last week, have them this week. I don't think it's particularly close. I think they beat Dallas by a touchdown. I think Buffalo's fantastic. Last 2 years, pass rush has been an issue. It's no longer an issue. 7 plays of over 20 yards against Kansas City. They are not a great running team, I guess, in the salary cap era. You can't be a perfect team. So you could say if you force them to run, well, they don't necessarily, they're not forced to run much. I will say this. I thought it was impressive to go on the road and hammer Kansas City, and Stephon Diggs was not that valuable because I think he's arguably the best receiver in the NFL. So there it is.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, you know Daniel Jeremiah, scout, three times Chargers broadcaster. He's going to join us live. NFL Network, super smart dude. All right, Herd hierarchy, what part of it's nonsense? I moved Green Bay way back. I just don't think, I said this with Tampa, they're good, they're just not quite right. Like Dallas feels like all their units, they got it right. Anything in the Herd hierarchy you dismiss, you didn't like?
I'll tell you what, Colin, this might be surprising, but having called the Charger games and look at their schedule and who I've seen this year, and that's the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Browns. The Browns are the most talented team that I've studied this year that the Chargers have played. That includes the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, wow. That was a Dallas Cowboys team that ran the ball really well against the Chargers. They scored 20 points in that game. So they've been putting 40 on just about everybody else. But seeing them up close and studying them, that's a good team, but I thought the Browns are a more talented team even than the Dallas Cowboys, particularly in the trenches. That team is really good. Baker's not at the level as those other top quarterbacks. He's not. When you get in that in the playoffs, you're going to have to see Mahomes and potentially Herbert and Josh Allen. He's not in that group. I'm telling you, Colin, the rest of that roster is loaded.
Let me ask you this, because I got some pushback from Michael Vick. I said, listen, there's no way Justin Herbert on a 3rd and 10 would run the ball. Brandon Staley would not run the ball on the line. I don't want to be anti-Baker here, but coaches tell us what they think of their personnel by what they do and what they call on later downs. I did not love that. They took the ball out of his hands. You were broadcasting the game. What did you make of that move by Cleveland?
So when I saw it live, I kind of left the stadium thinking, okay, there's two plays that tell you all you need to know about this game. You have the Browns with a chance to try and put the game away, running the football on 3rd and 10. You have early in the third quarter going for it twice on 4th down, the second of which was 4th and 7, and you put the ball in Herbert's hands, and he makes things happen. Now, when I went back and watched the tape, Colin, I'm not so sure that Baker didn't check himself into that run because the way the Chargers were lined up, there was a big bubble. There was a big hole on the left side. Chenna Nwosu ended up kind of rotating over late. So I think he thought they were going to pop a run, and I thought Baker might have audibled that. That wasn't the biggest takeaway when watching the tape. The biggest takeaway watching the tape was when you go watch the 2-minute drill at the end.
Yeah.
With that type of time, and you take the elite quarterbacks, the special quarterbacks, they're going to get right down the field. And it was check down,
yes,
and then a couple Hail Marys. They had time to do work in the middle of the field, and he wouldn't take shots. That was, to me, the biggest takeaway. And I think Coach Stefanski or someone after the game said, well, we had two backup tackles, and the Chargers hit him one time. Derwin James hit him one time in that game. Those backup tackles played really well. So that to me was a little bit of the difference between Baker and some of the upper tier guys you're going to see in the playoffs.
So Eagles, Browns, Ravens, you were a scout. So I said this, I don't have a problem admitting I'm wrong. I do a Colin Wright, Colin Wrong every Monday. I got a problem with it. I had my doubts about Lamar. He looked skinny. He took big hits. He had a weird throwing motion. And his first year in the league, I'm like, it doesn't look, I'm not sure this is going to work. But I can acknowledge that he came back the next year stronger. He had traps. He was big. He takes fewer hits. The throwing's getting better. You were a scout, so I had my doubts. But I also had my doubts on Josh Allen. I said he could be great or he could be awful. He struggles with accuracy. Where were you when Lamar came in, and where are you now as a former scout?
Well, I had Lamar, if I'm not mistaken, I think is like my 30th to 31st player rated in that draft. So he's in my top 32, but obviously way too low. You guys have been an MVP. He's taking the team to the playoffs every year. He's a superstar. We saw that again last night. This is kind of the lesson I've learned in looking at quarterback mistakes that I've made, Colin, and that's being too low on Mahomes, being too low on Lamar, being a little bit too low on Justin Herbert. Those guys, Josh Allen, a little bit too low on Josh Allen. Now, to me, when you look at those guys, they're all incredibly talented, and then they had flaws in their game, each and every one of them, but they're hard workers and they're intelligent. So when you have the talent, the intelligence, and the work ethic, the lesson that I've learned is those guys figure it out.
Yeah.
It might take a couple years like it did for Josh Allen, but you bet on those. That's why I bet on Trey Lance. And I know, we'll see some ups and downs from him early in his career, and I'm sure some people will punt on Trey Lance. But he's talented, he's hardworking, and he's intelligent. Yeah. And that's been the lesson that I've learned.
Yeah. By the way, on the Carson Wentz situation, I want to give Indy some love here because their schedule softens. They're going to win a bunch of games here over the next 2 months. I don't think he's the problem, Daniel. I watched him last night. Again, he is, Lamar just overwhelms the room. But I do think this morning, and they may not stay on him forever, you know what I think the Colts issue is? And we were talking about this before. In the NFL, it's not just having good players. You have to have the right positions. Left tackle, corner, wide receiver.
Edge rusher. Yep.
The Colts aren't special at the key positions. I think Wentz has some special. Your takeaway, that's my problem with the Colts, is they don't have the great left tackle, the great corner, the great number one receiver. I think Wentz has been fine. What's the tape say?
Yeah, I was thinking the big winner from that game last night was Mitchell Trubisky, because you're watching that game and you're saying, okay, I saw Carson Wentz play good football once upon a time, and then it has really fallen off. And the Colts bet, you know what, if we can fix the environment around him, get him more comfortable, we can bring that great player out of him, or that great play out of him. Trubisky, when you go back and look at him with the Bears, that one year they went to the playoffs, he played pretty well. And then he has kind of fallen off a cliff. And I think this is showing, hey, let's be patient with some of these guys, getting a new opportunity, some new voices, in this case, familiar voices. You can see their talent come out. But yeah, to me, watching that game last night was the best I've seen Carson in quite some time. But me and Bucky were talking about this on the podcast today, though, Colin. Think about, you said the schedule gets lighter. Let's just say for some reason they have more games like this one where Carson plays really well and they lose. And now you're staring at that number. If you get 70% of the snaps, you forego your first round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. If you thought people got upset when the Philadelphia Eagles laid down in that last week against the Washington football team, what would happen if the Colts were to sit down Carson Wentz, who was playing well at the end of the year, to make sure they don't end up losing a first round pick? Can you imagine that conversation?
I want to go back because Lamar and Herbert face each other this week. It's going to be the game of the week.
They pay me to call these games, by the way. Don't tell anybody. I can't believe I'm getting paid to watch Justin Herbert every week against these guys.
So I want to talk about Herbert. Is that I was talking to Mark Trestman, used to coach the Bears, and he said Herbert's easier to coach than Mahomes. He goes, Mahomes has more gifts, but you've got to rein some of them in. He said with Herbert, his footwork and his composure and his pocket awareness, it's kind of magical. You're part of the organization for the Chargers. How does his greatness early, does it change how ownership views things, how Tom Telesco, the GM, viewed things? When you hit a home run to this level this early, does it kind of change how you operate going forward?
I joke about it with Tom Telesco on the team playing all the time. I go, man, you got the easy part now. Once you got this dude, and you've got this, you hit on this massive home run with Justin Herbert. Now you can go out and buy the rest. You know, you've got the foundation of the house in place. You can go get some drapes. I mean, that's no big deal.
Right.
But they put the ball in his hands. They trust him. And I think a lot's been made about Staley's aggressiveness. Well, there's a reason he's aggressive, because he trusts this kid and he has given him reason to believe. So yeah, what he's doing is rare. And the difference between him and Mahomes, in my opinion, is that with Herbert, you're getting all this excitement and this explosiveness without some of that recklessness that Mahomes can kind of drift into. This kid doesn't play reckless. He's where he's supposed to be in the pocket. He's on time with his throws. You design a shot play, he hits it. You might get a little more pizzazz with Mahomes and some of the scrambling around, some of the wild stuff, but you got to live with some of the reckless mistakes. Herbert, the three games in a row, Colin's got 11 touchdowns, no picks against three really good teams. And it's not like you're sitting there going, wow, he got away with that one. Like, he doesn't make bad decisions. It's been incredible.
By the way, I want to do one college question as a former scout for three teams. Yeah. Spencer Rattler. So I watched the Oklahoma game this weekend. He's supposed to be Mr. Wonderful. The backup comes in, and I thought, well, the backup's better than the starting guy, and I don't know if it's particularly close. Just arm, composure, accuracy. Is Spencer Rattler like no longer a first-round pick?
Well, you know, I'm always careful on this because everybody's got the job to do, right? And so I watched three games on Spencer Rattler over the summer. I wrote a little thing on NFL.com, I said he's not in the same class as the other Oklahoma quarterbacks. There's a lot of room for growth there. I thought at the ultimate upside for him was you're looking at a Jeff Garcia type player.
Yeah, I get that.
So I don't know. Like, I know, I guess there's other places where you was talk of him being the first overall pick. I never saw that. I never viewed him as that. I think that's an unfair expectation to put on him. But I watched that game. I haven't watched the tape of it, but I watched it on TV, and there was a noticeable difference when the other kid came in, the young freshman came in there. It was like, okay, that looks different. Yeah. And if I'm Lincoln Riley, I don't know. It's just, if that kid's the future, let's go right now.
Daniel Jeremiah, Chargers scout. Great seeing you, my man.
Thanks. Hey, Joy.
Hey, DJ.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Rex Ryan is a former Jets coach and Bills coach. It's funny. I don't remember the Bills years much. I remember the Jets years a lot. They were a much better team. So against Bill Belichick, he's 4-12 in the regular season, 5-12. I guess if you count the playoffs or something like that, that's his record. 5-12 against Belichick, whatever it is, regular season, postseason, whatever. He's had some success. But his brand now at ESPN is anti-Bill and anti-Patriots. I've been in this business 30 years. I can see when somebody over the course of 2 years, they have a new brand. He's just anti-Bill all the time. And now it's easy to beat up on Bill because he lost the best quarterback that's ever played, and he's in a division with Josh Allen, so Bill's going to lose. He's going to lose a lot of games to Buffalo, at least. So Rex Ryan came out, and he was ripping Mac Jones. His quote was, "Patriots won't make the playoffs with him. He's a pea shooter at quarterback." That's somebody that doesn't have a big arm. "When the ball travels down the field more than 15 yards, it's bad news for the guy. He's like Danny Werfel." So let me start with this. I covered Danny Werfel in college. That's how old I am. Mac Jones is 1,000 times better than Danny Werfel. Danny Werfel was not an NFL quarterback. He was not an NFL backup quarterback. Mac Jones, I think, is a really, really medium to low-end NFL starting quarterback. But the reason I don't have really strong opinions on Mac Jones is because you and I predicted what we thought Mac Jones would be. And he's exactly what we thought he was. He's the opposite of Lamar Jackson. He's got a low ceiling. He's not very athletic. He can't take average players and make them great. If it's not on script, it's not going to work. He's exactly what you thought. He's exactly what I thought. When you have a low ceiling, it's pretty easy, and you go into a really strong system, it's pretty easy to predict what you're going to be. The guys that are hard to predict are Lamar and Josh Allen, where they have wildly high ceilings, but boy, they need the right coach. I mean, if Josh Allen goes to the Jaguars, he's not beating Kansas City in Kansas City. If Lamar goes to the Jaguars, you think he's going to be this good? Baltimore and Buffalo have great ecosystems for those guys to flourish. Those are the guys that are hard to guess. Mac Jones is easy. You nailed it. You predicted it. You nailed it. In a system without great wide receivers, he's efficient and steady, and that's kind of what he can do. He can't make anything out of nothing, and that's what Lamar's specialty is. And so the idea that he's Danny Werfel is it's just not, doesn't make any sense. Danny Werfel, and maybe that's why Rex isn't coaching. He had bad personnel vibes or something, because that's not close.